cool. I'm so glad we could all be here. But this is so much a prayer and comfort. Jordan, thank you for your beautiful day and all that we're learning and all the networking that's going on. We just to learn from each other and really be glorified through our school and through our teaching and our students to help us be better and glorified. We're going into our 11th year, and I'm going to be working on my job is to be a trained teacher, and so I also do all the additions for here. So my job is very busy. I'm serving teachers all the time, and I need to do that. Some of you are coming out of traditional Christian schools, some of you are coming out of public schools, and so this is a good adventure, this journey that you're on, and that's what I've been on. The first time I came to one of these classroom meetings, the room was filled with men. There were hardly any women, and I never did see teacher conferences. We had all men and no women, and there was, you know, speaking language I've never even heard of. And vocabulary that I thought, I think that's stupid. I think I'll go to the bathroom and not come out. She was Georgie Sayers and, you know, and these men smoking cigars. I was just a good old homeschool mom who was, you know, just wanting a good education for my children. And so I just felt like as a homeschool mom, I could do it than anyone. But I saw that the method that I was using in homeschool mom, was pretty much what Lucy was saying, you know, training our children, you know, in their brain, and that's what I was teaching. So what I did was I moved my home school all the years that I've been researching all over the country into the classroom, and that's kind of what how their class works at our school. It's just that we're not in a classroom, but I make our teaching so loud. They have to do a lot of field trips. I want them to touch and feel everything that the children are learning in the classroom. So that's how their class started. It started out with kind of that model. Anyway, this is a handout that we have another handout to do. This is my outline. In the grammar school, I really feel like before you can ever get even to the writing process, and this is where a lot of schools, I don't want to say fail, or I think this is what we're trying to fight right now, is that it's the most disheartening thing when a child has to tell a child, I want you to write an essay about your summer, you know, and you come back with this paper, and, you know, you're like, oh, you want to tell Johnny, poor Johnny, yeah. I hope you don't have a Johnny, but you have to say, Johnny, you want to say great paper, but you can't. Because Johnny has no spelling. He's he has no sentence structure. He doesn't know how to write. And there's this paper with all the phonetics incorrect. And you think, I think Johnny has dyslexia. Maybe Johnny has a learning disability, but that's really not the issue. It's just that you have not accepted this in school. You know, it's just like what we're trying to do to have communication. So in order to even start writing, our philosophy for building the tools for reading and writing, it's like a toolbox. I wish I had a toolbox with me right now. It's opening the toolbox. Let's see back there. It is? Oh, that was better. Is that better? Can you go back there? Can everyone see this? We have to provide a strong foundation in the tools of reading and writing. in order to do that, we need to start out with phonics. How many of you are using phonics? How many of you, tell me what programs some of you are using. Are you ready for reading?
Okay.
Phonics. We're using SAS, we have a good phonetic program. Okay, so you are using a type of phonics program, and if you're not, you really need to look into about your cultural heritage. So you need to look at some of you that are networking new teachers, these new schools. These guys are, you know, using fastest phonics. You need to talk to them, network with them. Trinity is over here using Bridge, which is a type of folding, but broken down even more and very elaborate. And I'd love to talk to you how you guys are using that. And then Roddy wrote to reading over here in Greenville, and he used kind of a mixture of folding, and he used some. We use a lot of different ones because I'll just say this right now, there's not a perfect program out there. You will find gaps and holes and, you know, issues with any program that you have. So you'll find yourself adapting all the time. And everyone's nodding their heads, they're using the Grid and Saxon. So the Saxon people are probably using some of their Writer the Reading or some other phonics program to supplement. So that's what we had to do at Gershaw. We just called in church, called in, there were some gaps, so we adapted to these cases sometimes from the world. We just made it so it's more conducive to the way we teach. We do a little bit of Castera, Wanda's book too, and she, I think the her book is much more kid friendly, and I mean, teacher friendly, and much easier to use things and practices when you do it at her, because you can use some of her stuff. Wise guide to reading. Yeah. Build to read and write. Yeah. I really like her because she's just teacher friendly. She is teacher friendly.
Do you use the workbook? You know, where they write every word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So each self-practice workbook has a
word. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you another thing. And this is, I'll give you all the reasons why we had to do some of these things. What we decided to do is, in folding, we, you know, there's a more thing called the spelling test, and we're using the diagnostic spelling. We do that to get to the grade level. Okay. Well, we use that folding, and the grouping of folding and their state. We use it for first grade, but second grade now, the grouping of the words that would probably mean that already. But the groupings of the words didn't seem like they matched together. Like, you know, so the words were all in variety, you know, like there were long vowels, short vowels, and times. So we went to, we needed a modern curriculum book that has the groupings of the words are much better. So we still use all of the folding markings, and we still mark, you know, do the phonics markings and all that. We do all that, and we still use our notebooks, we still do our mobile, we still keep the 29 spellings. And our phonics is great above Korea. We have gained 25 points on our achievement set. And so we had to make that change because we consistently were like, here remain, you know, at this level of spelling that I have. You know, and I found that it's more the grouping of the words. It's easier if you have all short vowels together or, you know, blends. I don't like using the word blends. You know what I mean. But the long vowels are all together. So the reason why we did that is that it made more sense to the children for those groupings. and folding groupings were really hard. The first grade, they're still using, you know, very easy list, and so we decided to still use folding in the first grade. But we use modern curriculum for seventh grade and up. We still use all the folding markings. We haven't changed any of that. We're just using a different selling list. Do you have any questions out now? And this is what you'll find over time. You know, we've been doing this for 10 years now, so we had to adjust to make it right for our school. And, you know, you'll have to do the same as you look at your scores. You talk about why your scores are not going up or down. Okay. So you have to have a good phonics program, a suitable master phonogram, so we're using a multi-sensory approach. Our program fits to the brain, like breaks and sections that, you know, you want your children visually looking at it, knowing the phonogram, you know, they're hearing it, and they're saying it. Those things are really, really important. One thing that's really important is that we don't skip any of those reading, those readiness skills. It's really important. I don't even really encourage people to do any writing tests. We drill until we get the phonics thing down. I don't want to set up our children for study. If you make them write a sentence, you know, and you haven't really taught it, better if they know how to read it and write words well. So you're trying to teach them that phonics. And so you have to give them that school. We don't skip any grammar in first grade because they need to know the parts of speech and identify the parts. So what we do next is, after we do the spelling, now the way Alden does it is we do the phonograms and then we do the 100 spelling words and do all the marking. So Alden forces that child to decode, and so they start reading automatically. So after 100 spelling words, then we start the reading process, and that's probably around November. I don't know when that will start. You guys start reading by the end of the day. How about you and Grant? You start reading in grade grade 7? First grade? In first grade, we're holding them. We do get a lot of criticism from our parents. They want to know why our kids aren't reading in public school and all reading, you know, 4 years old and 5 years old. And I just tell them, you know what, I have to teach them how to do it. But when our kids pick up their literature book, they can read them on that day because they have mastered the we start 54 phonograms and 70, but by 54 we go to spelling, we then go 100 spelling words, 15 years of practice, all of those 70 phonograms. But when they open the book, they know that I is the letter I. When they have to phonetically round out the word like sight, they can do it. And mark it, you know. And some of the other books that they're using that years and years and years, the same principles that they're using the word sight, they know. They know the marking is going to be on a pH, so they've learned the phonogram that I, through letter I, makes that sound. So they learn all the sounds through that one phonogram.
Okay, so what do you do about I? What kind of thing is reading now at 4 year bends on all day?
Well, he still doesn't know the phonograms, so he still needs to learn all that. And
he's
never seen these phonograms before. And they, even though they're reading, the phonograms, there's 70 phonograms, but each phonogram, there's like the letter A. We're really different, right? Like the letter A, he'll learn the three sounds of it, three sounds. So, you know, he might know the first sound and the second sound, but he might not know the third sound as well, and why it works. we have room to go with all these running and so. Yeah, a lot of them are reading, but we're still holding them. As far as our literature program, we're not going to put a reader in there. A lot of them do read at home, but we really pretty much still hold them. And then when we go to the cellar, we do the 100 phone work. So that when they open the reader in November, we're putting them in really nice classes. They can really be chosen. They're so excited. They've been waiting in that anticipation that they're going to open the book and they're ready to read. And once they become readers, you know, we're ready, almost ready for the writing process. So, we test every week on oral reading, oral phonograms, and verbal phonograms. And that's when we show the card. They have to be able to say it. And you have to see how individually they do it because you know how kids are. You know, they'll say it. The phonogram. Yeah, we give an oral test and a verbal test. A written test, right?
For all four?
Just the oral and the written. And you have to do the visual one. You have to do the card one, visual. You have to do that individually because you have students in there that will trail off the rest of the class. When you're practicing with them and you'll add it on and you show the card. The student that doesn't want to learn the phonograms, they listen to this part one in the front and they'll just say, and they really don't know. And then when you take them out and you actually do it with them, you find out that they really don't have the phonograms. So you really have to do that. Now we have aides in our classroom, and so our aides pretty much they help monitor the class while you're pulling them maybe up to the front of your desk, and we do. We try to get through 5 phonograms a week as their class in the classroom. We also started pre-K last year, so my pre-K teacher was also the kindergarten aide, so she's getting them ready for the phonograms. But anyways, we don't really push the reading because I still want to equip them. We're not in a hurry to get them, with this literature. So, okay, now let's go to the spelling. Reading the student learns to locate keywords and passages to act, identify the main idea. Reading the spelling. Reading for enjoyment and comprehension and create attributes on the page. A lot of teachers ask me, what about reading comprehension? You know, they're wavering over this, and then still, I tell them, you know what, don't worry about reading comprehension right now. Teach them how to get them excited about reading, and with the joy of reading, the reading comprehension will come, usually we verbally ask them to tell us a little bit about the story, but I don't really concentrate on that. We really hit the card probably around third or fourth quarter. We start using the calm, heartbeat, reading comprehension test. And we teach them how to look at keywords by using highlighters. And they begin to highlight keywords in the passages. And really, first thing, okay, it is critical to students read daily to build confidence and achieve fluency. It's a requirement at Veritas that from the time they start the reading program all the way up to fifth grade, that they're reading at least 10 pages a month. So that's all in their assignment every day. And we try to train the parents to set kind of reading log. You know, we have a little reading log that we bring to the book. Just help them make sure they're reading the students will benefit from hearing excellent literature and read aloud to them on a regular basis. We read to our students on a classic reader every day for 15 minutes, usually 2 grades higher than their reading level. So maybe in first grade they're looking to, you know, talk to them. You know, because it's really hard when you see us do it. And teach them to hear, because your hearing vocabulary and your reading vocabulary is two different things. They're hearing good literature to them, and they're enriching. They're also, their imagination, and they're developing a lot of different skills. So it's really important that you're reading really good literature. And we get great discussions. Sometimes, you know, you just have to stop in the middle of your... In fact, I had some first-year teachers back here. They were so surprised at the kind of discussions they got when Michelle was teaching Greek. We usually try to match the read aloud or additional to the whatever we're studying in history of science. She did Golden Goblet, and she could not believe that the vocabulary there was very difficult. Oh no, what was your read aloud? And the discussion that came out of there was so wonderful because they were so fascinated about it. They started, you know, they were studying with her. So she was really, really thrilled about that process happened. The teacher should allow discussion regarding the prior and current information. So that's what happened in the read aloud. They're going to get good discussion from them. Okay. So now let's get to the writing process. So back up here. So you've got phonics. If you're laying the foundation for phonics, you're laying the foundation for spelling to be a good speller. You're laying the foundation and being a good reader. And you'll find that your best readers are probably your best writers. So that's what I'm saying. You've got to equip them with the tools. If your child's struggling in reading, you've got to lay that foundation. This is a third grade teacher, a third grade teacher. They're happy when, of course, the second grade teacher has laid a good foundation. They're very frustrated when that first and second grade teachers are not laying down the foundation. Because it's a struggle, because now we have to be remediated. We have to back up. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we do that. And then from grammar, we go to the writing. let's go down here. So, the grammar school. The student will learn to write and classify diagrams and complete sentences with full knowledge of the eight parts of speech. This is really important. How many of you are using German grammar? Okay. What are you using? You're using what? Top down. Okay. I'll tell you this. German grammar is not a perfect writing program. But it's the only one that I see right now that really teaches, you know, the visual research and auditory. And I'm going to tell you how we adapted ours. Because they didn't have both. But it teaches the child to diagram a sentence. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of this school, your child doesn't know how to diagram a sentence. And this is the reason why. Okay? So, the question is, if you're using children grammar, first of all, the first mistake that I learned, the first mistake that our school made is that children grammar uses jingles. Okay? You know, and that's wonderful, but you know what we found? The kids are great at memorizing all these jingles, but then they couldn't relate it to, I'm teaching class one day. From one of my teachers, and I was teaching them sentence structure because I'm going to tell you how we build. And I said, tell me my step example in the sentence. And it's childless. And I'm thinking, that's a basic people, you know, this little noun floating around. She did not know how to relate the noun jingle to the sentence. So guess what I did? I had a little talk with my teacher and said, you know what? You better be using your jingles every day, every time a sentence or a word or any passages go up on the board, or you're teaching a call craft, or you're reading out of something, you better be practicing where the subject noun is in relation to the jingle. Because the jingle will mean nothing unless you're using it every day in your sentences. You have to relate the jingle. Same thing with phonograms. You can memorize these phonograms is isolation on these cards, and unless you're using it every day, you're looking around the room, and it's, you know, we practice that all the time. Now let's see, where is the letter A-R? Where is that program in the room? You know, you've got to get them looking and seeing beyond the card and beyond the jingle. You've got to be relating it every day. So we have to make changes on that. That's probably why a lot of times we got, you know, the Shirley Gamer gets criticized. If you do it in isolation, it's missed. But don't get the exercises in there. That's because you still do the single,
but you're trying to adapt it. That's one thing I've heard from artists, is that maybe the single was not really hard to do. And it's not like, how do you get them to do that?
Well, you've got to use it. You've got to relate the jingle to your sentences.
I heard the single as related.
Yeah, related. You can't just say, okay, we're going to do our jingles, and then they think they're learning some kind of cute little chant. And they don't know what the chant is for. You know, it doesn't have the purpose. So, okay. Now, Shirley Grammer's writing program is very deep. They start out in second grade with a 2-point expository. My two favorite colors. My first favorite color is red. I like red because it's very robotic and the teachers are like, oh, awesome. Well, you know, that first exercise we still use, just that one, that's why I got to know. We still use that first one, but then what we do is we have changed it, so, and I'm going to give you the idea, because we use a lot of variety of things in here. We start using the Shirley Grammar, and we start changing. We use whatever subject area that we're using, and we put it in place of the 2 points. So if we're doing 2 points and you're studying history, what are the two Greek gods that, you know, famous and material? We actually use our subject area into the expository. And then we use another program, Excellence for Writing, Writing for Excellence. But we use their technique and the style and technique. Now, how many of you are using writing stuff? Yeah. Do you use it? Do you need to use it? Well, is there a reason why you use it? Okay. I love using the Edison for writing because for the first time for me as a teacher and educator, that program taught me how to teach writing. I mean, to give it style and how to dress up. And I just thought it was so exciting. Now, I don't use all of his books. In the first years in grammar, we might teach only 3 dress up and 3 style sentences, okay? And that's manageable with little kids. But before you can even do that, you have to know how to diagram sentences. One of the most wonderful things is in first grade, what I make sure the teacher knows, the most important part of the sentence is that we need a subject noun and a verb. So that's the first thing that we teach building blocks. I said, if my students first grade to write a sentence. This is a basic sentence. You know, Dawn is done again. Dawn, yes. Here is a basic sentence. Capitalization, and mark, subject, noun, and verb. Okay? We build from that. You know, Shirley Grammer is good at building. But they have to know where something down in the book is. I said, okay, let's put an adjective for you, girl. like the word said, what is the adjective modified? What is the adjective, you know, question? So we're going to put it in questions. So we have the adjective. Now, what I've done is, we have magnetic boards. So we've made permanent, we've color-coded all of our cards so that all subject number cards are red. I would color-code the cards, and we either have Velcro stickers on the back or we have magnets on the back. And we have the kids come up and identify the cards. We practice in different, many different ways where they have to write a sentence. Well, we have to identify and put it on top of the word to do the word part, hard to see. So here's John's journal. Okay, describe John's journey. What does he look like? How many, you know, so then the children will do that. But if they know the part to speak, all you have to do is say, I need an adjective here. Let's practice adjectives. And then we begin to describe John's here. And so that's how we build. And then show them really about usually including passwords behind the verb, because it's, you know, we know that the verb is modified. So we build on the basic sentence. Here's the basic sentence. Then we begin to add our other jingles and our other parts of speech. Now some of the writing tools that we use in there is, I don't know if you guys use the Fables, Matt Whitlinger Fable book. I'm going to give you these handouts here. This is the very first rewrite table that we use. This is very, I love this because it's already built in what we're trying to do with excellent providing and with Shirley Grammar. All of this is right here on this page. And he teaches at Lodoc School in Idaho. So if you get their catalog, and what the child is doing here is, now they're able to read this. They've memorized this table. They already know how to read this. Because we taught them spelling, reading, you know, grammar, and now they can. So now we're memorizing the code in this model. Here's the oral recitation. And then we're going to work out. He's got it all worked out, so it does the highlighting of excellence for writing. You're doing some dictionary work, and then you're outlining three or four words. See how it's working with excellence for writing, if you're using that program. Sorry. And then it just also gets away from plagiarism. Some of you, I don't know, when you were in school, when your teacher told you to write a report in fourth grade, and you have to write a state report, and you go to your encyclopedia, and you think, well, how do you write a report on Montana? I think I was talking my encyclopedia. I just didn't know how to do it. And I really felt sad that I didn't know how to write a report. Well, this teaches them not to plagiarize, because here we're taking the table and rewriting the table. And I've got some examples that I'm going to show you what that looks like. What was the first one? It's called Fable. I'll do that to you in a minute.
Okay, that's okay.
This is the third grade. This is our third grade Fables book. We pulled from a lot, and I have an example of a student's work of a rewrite of a fable. But like getting all your fables and your rewrites into one notebook really, really helps. Here are some other fables in here. One thing you'll notice if you ever come to our school or any of our sessions, everything that we have notebooks. We build off of notebooks because I want everything to be together. So we can come look at this. I'm going to show you what a fable looks like from beginning to end. And it's going to be here. Okay, now, go to the next page of your handout. Okay, now your student is writing citizens can write complete sentences using, now we use a spelling word to practice also. You know that spelling word? That's how we start using how to write sentences. We use Shirley grammar principles, and we also use writing. Now, look at the Greek world adapted from ancient Greek. This is an example of how we've rewritten primary text. We put it on the top. This is how we practice. And then name, title, and then number one for if you're doing essence of writing, that's Roman numeral one means first sentence. Okay? That's the topic sentence. The number one, I know it's confusing, but number one is now the second sentence, and the two is the third, fourth. That's how they do it. So then you're doing your keywords. Remember, when you do keywords, you're only doing highlighted three, four words. Now, we put this on overhead when we first do this with students. We practice before we do this. We let them do this by themselves. Now, right on the bottom, this is really important in the writing process. They have the dress up right below on the checklist. It looks right there at the prepositional opener, the why word, who was which clause. Now, we've already taught all these using the writing process, but this is an example of what a writing team looks like once they start doing, integrating it into your writing program after you've taught all these things. So a lot of our sheets, our writing sheets look like this. We just go ahead and put the dress up there. Now, in third grade, one thing that my teacher does is that he has an email. Look on page, go through there a little bit more. Look at this checklist right here. This checklist right here. Now, what we've done here is every single third grader, second grader has this. It's laminated. Every time they write any paragraph or anything in our school, we have this little checklist that they have to have on their desk to do the writing process. And we've already been taught who and which clause. So we practice that a lot. Now what we've done is we color-coded these, so who and which, that's clause. So every time they write their first draft, they have to have their who and which blocked out. So when we do the editing, we know that they've identified their who and which clause. Strong verb, they have to underline it. Now we color-coded, I think we use blue, whatever you want to call it. We use blue, not markers, but color pencils. Okay, and then the because, we use that big green, we block the because, strong verb, the underline is green, or whatever color you want to use. So the children know that they have their color pencils out, and they have to have them, so that they will also know that they have this little checklist, so they don't miss anything. And this really works really well in our school. Now, I love to go in there and teach them writing once they understand writing. It's very, very easy. And I'll tell you why it's important for conflict teams. Every single one of my upper school teachers, dialectic and high school, say thank you, for teaching there. Because when it comes to teaching Latin, they don't have any problems with grammar. It's that the kids are so fit. Yes, you know what? It's boring. But, I'll tell you this. Our fifth graders are like, oh, I need to do grammar. When they start going to higher level complex sentences, they are so glad they started in first grade that they can write beautiful sentences. I'm going to show you. I'm going to pass this around, but this is a third grade work right here.
I brought my own. So this is a third grade, like, book report that he's on. This is a line of what's in the wardrobe. We break it down. So this is his final piece right here. His final book report. When you teach, when you equip them with the tools, you know, and the writing is really, really good when you really equip them. And the upper school teachers will really appreciate. We have hardly any children at our school that have problems with writing. Because we've held the line on the reading process, the spelling process, and teach the writing parts in components. You know, one step at a time. It takes a lot of work. Now the third grade teachers are also happy because they're reading and writing already, so they can go on to writing more paragraphs. But in first grade for us, we get criticized a lot, but all I want them to be able to do is write a good sentence. If my children can graduate from first grade writing a good sentence with a prepositional phrase, adjective, article, adjective, can diagram that whole sentence, I'm happy. Second grade, if they can write a good paragraph with a topic sentence, three supporting sentences and a conclusion, you can just send them off to college. You know how many kids cannot, I do admissions. I have not tested one kid in 10 years. I test probably 100 kids a year. I have not had one student yet write a topic sentence or a thesis with a supporting body and a conclusion yet. This year, I have not tested one student coming from public or private that knows any grammar. They might know what a subject noun is, but they're not sure. Okay, it's really pathetic, and they just don't know how to do this process. Now some of us are not equipped either. I'm just gonna be honest. It wasn't until I got into classical education that I began to be more equipped. But these programs, I really believe, teach you how to teach writing, because I really didn't know how to. I know the topic sentence and conclusion, but I just. This really helped guide me through it. That's the sad reality of it. You have to have good systems in place. So we hold the line, and then in third grade is when we start writing. Fourth grade for us is our biggest year of writing. We hit them very, very hard. It's like the hardest year. I mean, we edit everything. We go to first draft and the final copy of every single paper. And we do the skipping lines, we start getting, and our editing skills, if you look here, we use the same editing skills, we use the same editing skills all the way up to eighth grade, so we're consistent on our editing skills. I do not do any peer editing, I do not let students edit each other's papers ever, well, because they just don't have any enough experience to edit each other's papers. You're the expert. You need to be editing their papers.
How often do you have to write?
Oh, they should be writing a little every day.
And do you have the teachers collect it and write it at night?
Usually our teachers are walking around. My teachers don't use their desk very often. Children need to get their work corrected right away. So the faster you can get to them and edit their papers. So after I do the writing process and have them do an exercise, I'm walking around and editing their papers right then and there and talking to them. And our children are raising their hands. But we do a lot of practice before that we ever let them write on their own. Sorry that we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. But
do you agree yourself and let them rewrite?
Yes. We use a red pen. I know that some
Mediary red pen.
Yeah, we use a red pen. Because I want them to get used to their red pen. Now they're so used to it, they don't care if their whole paper has red markings on it because they're so used to it from a very young age. So it doesn't surprise that when they get to upper school, that our upper school teachers tell us our children are right. I meet with all of the middle school teachers when we send our kids and kids to middle school, and they have said every single time our students are writing beautifully because they can do that basic form. And how you dress it up is right for us. it really does it up. And then in your packet there's another example of, now this teacher chose to have her, all of her little markings here, which is editing markings right down here. I'm just giving you some different, they're consistent but a little different. And this comes right from the writing for excellence here. Here's another example of this 1, 2, 3 these paragraphs. We always do our composition things on double. Here's an editing paper, give you an example. I happen to put Joshua's in here. This is what a top editing paper looks like. Can you see that? The double
page.
We do it on double paper. We teach them how to use the guideline, paragraph writing, and the teacher uses the red bin. And then this is what the final, this is how our final, this goes editing. This is what our final paper looks like. This is my special item. They're still printing.
Yeah,
we can
ask that.
Now, this is folding. This is how folding writing looks like. So, you know, we write really, all of our kids write really, really nice. On the other kids, I would say 50%. I think they say 50 because we have the kids that don't write very nice.
What's the company that is writing for that?
No, that's Andrew's.
Can you explain that to me?
I'll get
you.
Do you
expect that
handwriting
one
is on the line? Oh, yeah. If you're using folding handwriting, folding is very precise. It was done by Orton Dillingham. They're a neurologist. They were learning, they were looking at learning disability. So every single letter is concisely written in, clock letters, so from 10 to 12 o'clock around. To try to train the brain so that it's working properly. So folding is very concise. You don't have any dyslexia. We have probably in our entire lower school, we have, I don't know, how many students? 290. We have maybe 2 students that have pure dyslexia. I mean, they're diagnosed as dyslexic children. The rest of the children write like this because we're using a neurological learning disability. You know, it's a great program. It's hard to use. You thought you'd have good training in it. It takes 50 hours for me to train one teacher. So, as a matter of fact, I teach for them for a whole semester. I actually teach the class to teach folding, because the new teacher cannot do it. So I actually teach it for them and model it for them, but they don't feel wrong. So this is what their draft looks like, and that's what their final copy looks like. This year drafted in to the third grade work and then final problem. So anyway, thank you for coming. I'm sorry we had to concise. If you need some of those resources, you need to come talk to me.